This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, all you deer hunters out there. Today's the first day of deer season. Our show is pre-recorded today, so we won't be taking any phone calls. And we're not broadcasting from home. I'm actually in the studio at WCBM, and this is Wednesday, the 20th of November. So we are expecting Brian Eiler to be here pretty soon and join us part of the first hour, maybe into the second hour, and we'll talk a lot about deer hunting today. But first of all, the first thing we always do on the first day of the deer firearms season is ask God to grant his mercies on us and to protect us while we're in the field. So if you're driving, don't bow your heads, but join me in your heart if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day in your nature, and the opportunity to participate. If you would watch over all the hunters in the land today and just keep them safe. Keep them safe in their tree stands. Keep them safe in the fields. Keep them safe in the woods. Make sure that you give them the wisdom to make the proper decision with their equipment, with their guns, and to be safe. Let them keep in mind that other people are in the fields and in the woods with them, and that, to be sure if they have an opportunity to take a shot that they identify their target. If you should present a gift to any of these men and women who are afield and youngsters who are afield today, let them make a quick, humane kill and recover their game so that nothing is wasted, and make good use of it. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's how we usually start our show, at least on the first day of deer season, you know. So that's what we have to do. Been deer hunting up to this this date of the 20th of November when we have recorded this show to be broadcast on this date. And hearing a lot of good deer stories out there. We're right after the youth season, and we got a number of, if you recall, a couple weeks ago we had the youngsters call in. They had 28 youngsters participating in the youth hunt there in Montgomery County, and a ton of volunteers and a ton of people that were involved in cooking food and, you know, just making sure everybody was safe and so forth. There were no accidents. Everybody was safe. They wound up taking a total of 48 deer that day. And we'll have pictures in an upcoming Maryland Hunting Quarterly pretty soon on that. Maryland Hunting Quarterly is out there for the winter issue. It's been out since around the first part of the first week in November. It's available online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. There's also a Facebook page if you'd like to check in on that. The Outdoorsman Radio Show has a Facebook page too, but I am not an active social media kind of guy. I share stuff and I look at stuff and I like stuff, but I'm not addicted to it and I don't spend a tremendous amount of time on it. I do want you to look at a Facebook page and a website called Bucks, Bears, Stags. That's bucks-bears-stags.com, or check them out on Facebook. This is the newest record-keeping enterprise we have here in Maryland to measure white-tailed deer, black bears, and sick of deer stags. That's right. We have a series of men who are able to measure these animals. Most of them are authorized by Pope and Young, which is the archery club, and Boone and Crockett, which is the record-keeping, 100-year-old record-keeping entity out of the West on all North American big game. And most of our guys are Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett measures. We are going to be able to measure deer throughout this season. Whitetails, sick of deer, and black bears. And then the cutoff will be April 15th, which means even deer taken on the last day of the season will have the appropriate 60-day drying period. So if you get one today, we're looking at 60 days down the road to have that deer measured. But you can always make an appointment 60 days out with any of our guys, and they're all listed on the website. And we'll have more information for you on that as we continue through the season. You know, probably mentioned it last week, but we haven't done last week's show yet, so I have no clue. it's like Back to the Future here, right, Vern? Vern Anderson's our producer, and, you know, we got to talk like we're 10 days out. Exactly. So keep that in mind. And when we are 10 days out, then you'll be listening to this show like you are now at this moment, even though we're now recording it on the 20th. Totally got you confused now, right, Vern?
Yeah.
Me too. Indeed. Oh, we love it. Well, I have been hunting, and I'll give you the update up to this point because I'll probably have given you the same update last week. But here's what's happening. I told you last week we had a loved one take a photo of a deer in the yard and contact me and say, you're welcome to come. You have permission to hunt. Got the signed permission slip. And here's what we'd like you to do. We'd like you to take that big buck. I said, okay, great. Thank you so much. So after the first night in the stand several weeks ago, I found out that there's at least one doe that I call my nemesis. She travels with another younger doe, smaller doe, and I call those two the gruesome twosome because every time she sees me, she's extremely cautious. Well, took a shot at her with the crossbow and missed. Shot underneath her. So I don't know if that made her more wary, less wary or not. She still comes out in the same spot, so I don't think it bothered her too much other than she heard a funny noise, which is okay with me, but she's still that cautious. And so this week, there she was again. So I let her go the second time. First time, like I said, took a shot at her. Second time. So anyway, I've seen this big buck, and I told you I saw the big buck chasing does. This week, I saw him in an entirely different scenario, and I've never seen this before. I've seen evidence of this, but I've never seen it in real time actually happening in front of my eyes. There's a series of pine trees on this property, mature pines, and you know how old pines that are never trimmed or anything like that tend to have branches almost down to the ground. Well, I was sitting in the stand. First night I was in the climber stand. And I'd seen a lot of deer. I mean, there were deer all around me. They were coming through from my left. They were in the field to my right. And I just texted Robin and said, you know, the old doe, the gruesome twosome were here. I let them pass today, blah, blah, blah. And there's deer in the field now, so I got to go. There was a spike buck working his way up through the field, which I had no interest in. But I wanted to see what would happen with him. Just as I put the phone away, I looked to my right a little bit, and beautiful wind, beautiful southwest wind that night. This pine tree, this limb on this pine tree, the lowest limb on the pine tree, was thrashing about, and it wasn't windy, was thrashing about to the point where it caught my attention. It was making noise. I looked over, and all I saw was a very wide rack set of antlers working up and down that pine branch, okay, and flipping it and moving it and scraping on it. And then I saw one hoof pawing the dirt. So I surmised what was happening. This guy was taking whatever frustration he had out on this limb, whether he was making a signpost for territory, whether he was strengthening his neck muscles, whether he was leaving, you know, forehead gland, eye gland scent. But regardless, he left his trademark scrape there. You know, they get in that scrape and they dig up the dirt and then they put their hocks together, their insides of their hind legs, and they'll urinate down over that tarsal gland, those tarsal glands. And that puts a scent on the ground that attracts the does, and the does come by and they do the same thing. And then the doe runs off and the buck scent checks his scrape, goes to it, picks up the scent of the doe, and off he goes in pursuit of her. Well, that's what he was doing. He was making a scrape and rubbing the branches and so forth, and I thought, man, all you got to do is come across that opening and check out that scent that I've got, that scent pad I've got laying or sticking in that tree right there. Stick your nose up, smell that, be curious, walk across the opening, and I gotcha. So what did he do? He decided that he was going to go out the other way and stick with the doe that he was with. He escaped again. Frustrations of hunting. But you know what? When you target one big mature deer, and they're as smart as they are, and they don't get that big by being dumb, okay, or stupid, so you just go with it and you try another way to fool them. So we'll let you know if we get them. We sure will. So That's the scoop on that. If you take a look at the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, it's all spelled out. Or if you find a copy at your local retailer, taxidermy shop, meat cutter, on page 30 you'll find a chart there that tells you how to accurately calculate the weight of your deer by the heart girth. The heart girth is the measurement just behind the front legs where the heart lays. It's the widest part of the brisket. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the heart girth chart when I come back from the commercial break, and we'll go from there. So keep in mind, heart girth chart. You might want to take a long piece of string with you, or if you have a tape measure, that would work even better. But it's time for me to tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers on Kent Island. That's right. They're located off Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's a Dominion Road exit on Kent Island. The street address is 1707 Main Street in Chester, Maryland. Of course, they have firearms and ammunition. They have slugs, too, for deer hunters. They've got 20% off all tree stands. They've got the Matthews compound bows, the Raven crossbow, the Mission crossbow, and crossbows by other folks like 10-point Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett. They're also your Eastern Shore waterfowl headquarters with the largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area. All major brands, of course, steel shot like the Fast Steel from Kent, all kinds of waterfowl gear, camo by Banded, camo by Scentlock for the deer hunters, Avery decoys, and much, much more. You can find all this, plus Costa sunglasses and Yeti coolers, muzzleloaders by CVA and Thompson Center, all at Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. And we'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com, and Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hannah complained of a headache. It was a rhabdomyosarcoma. The tumor was very aggressive, and it very quickly became clear that St. Jude was the ultimate place to be. St. Jude is an asset to the world. I think it's the kind of place that could teach the world a couple of lessons about how to treat people. If those lessons could be learned, this world could be a better place.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop us out and you can't make them run for putting more boys raised on shotgun. We say grace, we say man, if you ain't in the back, don't give a damn. We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around.
That's right. Country boys can skin a buck and run a trot line. That's for sure. So still waiting arrival, Brian Eiler, Maryland's deer project leader. He'll be here shortly for sure. So there's an article I want to point out in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, and you can read this online. It's about gun laws. How educated are you? Now, there's been a lot of news here about Mayor Michael Bloomberg going to run for president. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Michael Bloomberg is an anti-gunner. That's right. He does not want you to own a firearm. And he has an organization called Every Town. That's one word. Every Town for Gun Safety. Everytown.org. That's right. You'll see some of the stuff that's on there. And there's a group within Everytown.org, Every Town for Gun Safety, called Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. I told you last year during the General Assembly session that there were women, females, who were running about in the General Assembly, speaking to all the members of the General Assembly, all the lawmakers in the Senate and in the House, about gun safety. If you recall, the tragedy in Annapolis where the folks at the Capitol office were murdered by a madman, and I think he's been on trial recently, I guess. And anyway, that was the impetus for gun safety laws, 27 in the House of Representatives and 19 in the Senate last year. Now, of course, some of those were cross-filed, so let's keep in mind we had about 25 different gun laws going on in the House and in the Senate last year, including universal background checks, including transfers, which means that I can't sell you my firearm without us both going to a dealer, without us both undergoing a background check, without us both, you know, and you can't pass your old granddaddy's shotgun down to your grandson. You can't. There's a lot of things that were going to be outlawed had the General Assembly succeeded in some of those bills. Well, the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America is like the activist arm of Every Town for Gun Safety. So we talk about gun laws in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. We give the websites for these groups, and then we talk about anti and pro Second Amendment groups in that article. And there's also an article in there from Boston University about the FBI and the Center for Disease Control data sets seem to agree that it's not what guns you own, like ARs and semi-automatic handguns and things like that. It's who has the guns that are linked to murder rates. Okay? So that addresses mental health and a lot of other things. So I think you should read that article. I think you should read that survey. And, you know, as you're driving to the deer stand today and you've got your shotgun, or your rifle tucked safely in your vehicle somewhere, keep in mind there are people out there that don't want you to have it. There are people out there that want you to be able to, that want you to have to register to own it. They want you to be able not to pass it down through your family. They don't want you to be able to make a deal with somebody else with your firearm without a bunch of red tape and without, you know, what they're trying to do is make the law-abiding gun owner like you and I, who obey the laws and believe in the Second Amendment, they're trying to make us lawbreakers by invoking some of these rules and regulations on us. And we may or may not know that we're breaking the law. So I just want you to be aware. General Assembly starts in January. I know here we are at the end of November, but some of these bills are going to start being pre-filed in the next couple of weeks. You watch and see. They're going to start pre-filing. We also list in this article the pro-Second Amendment organizations in Maryland, like 2A Maryland. Maryland Shall Issue, the Institute for Legislative Action under the NRA, the Maryland section, Maryland State Rifle and Pistol Association, and then the national groups Gun Owners of America and the Second Amendment Foundation. All those websites are there. So those are good research pieces for you to check out in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly Magazine. So anyway, so let's say you shoot a deer and it runs off. Did you miss? Maybe not. Did you spend time at the range? Did you sight your rifle in? Did you sight your shotgun in? Do you know where it shoots, how it shoots, and what you're shooting? Does the ammunition match the ammunition that you shot your gun in with? Well, if all those are yes answers and you took a nice, calm shot, I hope we didn't take a shot at a running animal today, but if you took a nice calm shot and the animal seems to run off without reacting, well, there are signs you could look for. Number one, if the animal mule kicks, if the animal kicks his hind legs, you've struck him. If the animal tucks his tail, you've struck him. Now, what happens when he runs off? Well, the tracking job and the tracking instructions that I give to the folks that I mentor, like Laura, my grandson, is this. Before you shoot that animal, pick out a landmark. If it's a bush, if it's a tree, if it's an indentation in the field, if it's a clump of grass or whatever it might be, make sure you know what you're looking at and then take the shot. Then you know where you can find that animal. Okay, you just don't shoot at an animal and not know where you shot. I've seen this many times. I tracked a deer for a guy one time. Where was it when you shot? In front of the stand. Okay, how far out? I don't know. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You get in your stand. I'll walk out here. You tell me where you think the deer was. It was right about there. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. So when you get to that point, you know, you got to figure out, do you have a blood trail? Do you have any evidence of the shot? Do you have hair on the ground where you shot at the deer? If you have that hair, you might see a spot of blood there. You might not. Okay, so then you need to figure out, once you find a spot where you shot the animal, where's it going to go? Well, it ran into the woods over there. Well, where? Okay, where did you last see it? What's the landmark where you last saw the deer run into the woods? Or the last spot you saw a deer leave? Was it that laurel bush? Was it that oak tree? Was it by that fence post? Was it that big clump of greenbriars? Did he go to the left or the right? Where was that animal the last time you saw it? And then you can proceed to that spot. That's when the real hunt begins. Sometimes the animal hasn't gone far, and he's laying right there. Other times, it may take a tracking job. And that animal may be fatally hit, but, you know, let's think about this, okay? A deer can run 30 miles an hour, okay, on a sprint, 30 miles an hour. So in 1 hour, that deer could be 30 miles away. In 1 minute, okay, 1/60th, of 30 miles is how much? Half a mile in 1 minute. So if you saw that deer for 15 seconds or 30 seconds, then he can cover a lot of ground. Now, let's take a look at how long that animal can live. Back in the teens, when firing squads were popular for executing prisoners, they wired up a couple of these guys who were shot through the heart by firing squads, and they found out that the human heart, penetrated by bullets, can still beat for 15 seconds. So let's put those two pieces of information away. Okay? A deer's heart, similar in size to a human, can run for 15 seconds at 30 miles an hour. That deer can be as much as, what, 400 yards, 300 yards? I mean, I'm just doing some rough calculations before it expires. Okay? So, if you shoot a deer, and you think you've missed, maybe you didn't. You know, I hate to find deer in the woods that have been shot and lost. And I've seen them time and time again, you know. And you hear the story, oh, yeah, well, Jimmy's son, he's 13, he was over there by that tree, and He shot a 6-point and he missed. He says he missed it. And you go 100 yards from the tree where Jimmy shot his 6-point and you find a 6-point 2 days later that he didn't follow up on. So you don't want that to happen. So I'm simply saying, pay attention to your surroundings. And I know it's a heart pounding moment, you know, and buck fever can kick in and you could see white and not see anything else. You can get all excited and lose track. But before that deer comes out, focus on your surroundings. See where you think that deer is going to come out. If he shows up there, look for that landmark. If he runs off, look for that landmark where you last saw him. Like I said, it could be a tree, it could be, you know. Jacob shot a deer 1 year, an 11-point, nice buck. 150 yards away through the woods. Couldn't get a shot on it before that. And I said to him, as we're sitting side by side in the ladder stand, I said to him, okay, you shot the deer. Do you think you hit it? Yes. Why do you think you hit it? Because he jumped. Okay. Now that you've said that, pick out the spot where you last saw that deer. Do you have it? Yes. It's that tree with dark bark on it. I said, okay, we're going to walk right there. And we found that deer down in a ravine. He'd gone maybe 30, 40 yards, but he dropped down onto a creek bank down into some thick cover there. But we found it. And we had blood and we had a deer. And that 11 point, you know, could have, if he'd have picked the wrong spot, that deer could have gone to waste. And we don't want that to happen. So here we are in the first day of deer season. We're just trying to give you some tips here. And I told you, I promised you I'd talk about a heart girth chart. So you take a piece of string or a tape measure and you measure the deer behind the front legs. Okay. Whatever that measurement is, if you use this chart, and I didn't develop this chart. This chart's been developed by Penn State years and years and years and years ago, okay, Penn State. So an average deer is going to be probably 30 to 35 inches behind the shoulders. So let's just take an average deer at 35 inches. You measure with a piece of string or a tape measure right behind the front legs, you know, around the girth, the heart girth. This is the way they calculate weight on cattle, just so you know. At 30, let's say 35 inches. Okay, so you got a piece of string, you got a tape measure, you spread it around there and it stops at 35 inches. Well, the live weight on that deer would have been 136 pounds. The dressed weight would be 106 pounds after you take the entrails out. The hide, once it's skinned, the hide weighs 11.2 pounds. The blood itself, okay, weighs 7.2 pounds, and the bones weigh 16.4 pounds altogether. That's the head, the spine, the ribs, and everything else. So that leaves you with 57 pounds of edible meat, provided there's no damage from the shot or anything like that, provided, you know, you didn't break a shoulder and have to discard that. You got about 57 pounds. I usually figure, if you figure the live weight of a deer, you're going to be somewhere around half of that. So that's a good chart, and it breaks it all down all the way up to 46 inches, which is a 286-pound live weight deer, which is a pretty big deer. So my biggest deer was 43 inches, a little over. The live weight was 234. He dressed at 196 on the scale. He had his hide weighed almost 22 pounds. He had almost 12 pounds of blood weight and 28 pounds of bone weight. Left me with 103 pounds out of a deer that weighed on the hoof, 236 pounds. So that just tells you how it all works out. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about Clyde Sport Shop. Now, there's some rebates going on Browning Guns, and you might want to check with Clyde's on them right now because you've got some good rebates going on, and they only last for a couple days. So check that out on the Browning Firearms. I'm going to tell you about a couple of Browning rifles. The number one is the new one. It's a Browning AB3 Stalker. It's a long-range firearm for those of you who like to shoot long-range. Comes in 6.5 Creedmoor, 308, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag. Now, the barrel is it's supplied with a thread protector and a muzzle brake, but it's also ready for a suppressor if you want to get one of those. That's another process we'll talk about. And this is a 26-inch barrel. It's got a synthetic stock. It's an AB3. It's very reasonably priced because it was a 2019 SHOT Show special. You want to take a look at that gun as well at Clyde Sport Shop. Tell them you want to look at the AB3 long-range Stalker model in 6.5 Creedmoor, or one of those long-range calibers. Now, the other one is a BAR Mark III, a Hell's Canyon Speed. That's also new for 2019. It comes in a Burt Bronze Cerakote finished barrel, AU camo, which is arid urban. It's got a composite shim-adjustable stock and a recoil pad, and it's a large selection of firearms. I'm sorry, a large selection of calibers that will fit a semi-automatic firearm. That's the BAR Mark III Hell's Canyon at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sport Shop. And we got one more of our great sponsors to tell you about, and that is Bay Country Bakery. A lot of guys are going up and down 50 for the first day of deer season, you know, and you'll take a break at lunchtime and so forth. Well, here's what I'd like to tell you. When I'm on Route 50 and I'm going to the deer stand or duck blind, my mouth and my belly just can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich and a hot cup of coffee. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge has the most delicious, and we've eaten them here on the air, donuts and pastries and cookies and breads on the Delmarva Peninsula. Enough for everyone in camp, too, and they serve a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, which means today you can get breakfast all day. So even if you take a break during the hunt from 11 till 2 during the week, you can get a nice lunch there at Bay Country Bakery. So to find Bay Country Bakery, do what I do. Look for the big donut on the side of the bakery. It's a big 10-foot donut with pink frosting and sprinkles painted on the side of the building. Not a real donut, of course. And you'll see it. Dave and Gina Levy, your hosts, are trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge, on Route 50 East. Think big donut. Visit their website. Like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. You never know. We'll be right back after these messages.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680, WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employers, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be.
Rain will move in later tonight and stick around into portions of Sunday and Monday before some drier conditions by Tuesday. A lot of cloud cover from this morning to the afternoon with a high of 45 and a cloudy sky tonight with rain moving in late and a low dropping down to 36. So windy and wet into the holiday weekend on Sunday tomorrow with periods of rain and a high close to 47 degrees. A little bit cooler into Monday, and there's still be the potential for some scattered showers into the afternoon hours with a high temperature hitting the mid-40s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com. And Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have, give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
I fish. I also clean local waterways so others can fish and swim. I help build public boat ramps for easy access to the water. I provide fishing and water safety education for kids. I maintain a healthy fish population so tomorrow's anglers can enjoy a catch. I prevent unwanted species from spreading into waters where they don't belong. I restore the condition of rivers to help fish and wildlife thrive. I fund long-term plans to protect our lakes and streams. I do all of these things and more, all because I buy a fishing license. When you buy a fishing license, you do a lot. In fact, every dollar from a license purchase protects and maintains your local waterways for future generations to enjoy. To learn more about how you can get your fishing license, go to takemefishing.org. That's takemefishing.org.
What is your role in the fight against cancer? The answer could be as simple as driving your car. For many cancer patients, getting to and from treatment is one of their toughest challenges. The American Cancer Society needs volunteer drivers to provide rides for patients in your community. Schedules are flexible. Get in the driver's seat against cancer. Call your American Cancer Society at 800-227-2345 or go to cancer.org/drive. That's 800-227-2345.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
When the green of the corn stalk begins to turn brown, and when the time for the goldenrod bloom comes around, that's when I look to the hills, for I know soon I'll walk there again with my arrow and bow.
He's going out there with his arrow and bow. He's a very mellow singer, isn't he?
That is.
Yeah, it's a nice song.
I don't recall that.
No, I know, but hey, guess what? We got Brian Eiler here today. You attended a... That was a mic sound. I bumped it. Sorry. We're with Brian Eiler, who just came from Wildlife Advisory Committee meeting.
I did.
Indeed.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Brian. How was the meeting today?
It was good.
On the 20th.
It was good.
Good. Well attended by all the commissioners?
Yep. So, a couple new faces. And
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, my buddy Steve Keithley's on there.
No, yep. Steve wasn't there, actually.
Really? Today, Lou Compton.
Yeah, you know, Lou was there.
Good people.
Yep.
So, good people.
Got a good story on Lou. Remind me to tell you off air.
Off air?
Yeah.
Off air.
Better tell you off air, and you can decide if you want to.
Did you see his Facebook post today? I don't do a lot of social media.
Maybe that was it.
About the kid?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, fifth grader the other day. One of his National Archery in the Schools programs was getting ready for PE class, in class, and ran into a wall. Yeah. And cut his head, I think, if I remember. Took 5 stitches.
Ow.
He said, I'm fine. I'm going to get my stitches after school, but I'll be back for NASP.
Well, that's good.
Isn't that cool?
So the running into the wall had nothing to do with a bow or NASP.
No. Like the kid was on the NASP team.
Team, right.
Yeah,
right,
and he came back and he was limping and he had stitches and so, but he still, he had a sore hand and stitches and he still shot great and made the
team.
That's great. So
we actually help with the annual state tournament.
Right.
That's a great program.
It is. So Nash Arch. Really, and Lou program. Has a lot of, Lou's devoted, I guess, everything now to that.
Yeah. So, he puts a lot of time.
A lot of time and effort into that.
Yep.
Good man, Lou Compton.
Yep.
So, yes, sir. So, yeah, that was just today. I don't look at Facebook much, but I got an alert from somebody and I had to look at it. So, anyway, how you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in deep into deer season.
Deep into it. So. Well, along those lines, you got our early season numbers for us?
I do. So we harvested about 21,000 this year, which was up significantly from last year.
Yeah, that sounds like
over
10%.
Last year it pretty much rained every day.
Yeah, it did.
In September.
It sure did.
October,
yeah, it did. That's for sure.
Yeah, so we saw a good, strong harvest because the weather was a lot better and
good
doe harvest and
good.
Looking good. Yeah,
good. I'm glad to hear that. Yep. Glad to hear that. Well, my first part of the hour, I was talking about it. One deer I'm focused on. I'll show you a picture.
Later, okay.
But so I'm glad to hear that. I mean, we just came through youth season. Any numbers on youth season?
I don't even have all the numbers at this point.
Right.
We're recording on Wednesday or whatever. But
right.
But it looks like it's going to be up a little bit. Not a whole lot, but it's going to be very similar to last year.
Yeah, they had pretty good weather.
Yeah, they did.
They had great weather Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think we're going to see a harvest pretty similar to last year, probably.
Good,
the way
good,
it looks.
Good. Our boys in Montgomery County called in 2 weeks ago on the show during the youth day, and they had 28 youth hunters.
Yeah. How many? And they always do really, really well.
48 deer.
Wow.
48 deer.
That's
and
great.
Some really nice bucks.
Yeah.
So,
you
know, a lot of credit goes to those guys at the Secret Lair. So we're getting all the pictures and stuff. So
that's great.
Yes, indeed. So how many? 20,000?
21,000. Yeah, almost. Yeah, 21,100 or so.
Yeah, and that includes early muzzleloader and
right.
bow season as well.
Yep. And, early muzzleloader was similar.
Yeah.
But like I said, it rained so much last year.
The
harvest was way down.
Yeah.
It's back up.
How's the antlerless versus antlered harvest?
Looks good.
I mean,
good, yeah. We're about 60%, running about 60% antlerless, which is typically where, you know, it's
where
in
you
the ballpark
want to be.
Where we want to be. Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Glad to hear that. Well, nothing wrong with taking a doe to eat.
Definitely not.
You know?
Definitely not.
I missed one.
Balanced deer herds grow bigger deer. So
I missed, there's two does that come out and almost bust me every time. Really, really cautious, big mature doe, dry doe, comes out with a buddy. And I call them the gruesome twosome.
Yeah.
Because they're always around. They're always sneaking around and blowing on me. And you know. So I took a shot at the big one the other night. And flat missed. So, It happens.
It happens.
So I think I caught a little twig, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because when I found the arrow, it was facing the other way. So I think I might have caught a little greenbrier or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Just,
but, you know.
Educated her even more. So.
Mm-hmm. She left for the night, though, after that. Had a good rest of the hunt.
Yeah.
So
a big old, you know, an old doe, she's about as tougher than a mature buck.
Yeah. You're not kidding.
Yep.
You're not kidding about that. And I tell you, I've hunted properties where I hunt consistently and I always find one. and they're always the most on guard and the quickest to run off, the quickest to snort, sound the alarm and all that stuff. You know, I'll never forget Cecil County one night in the, it was early muzzleloader season, and I knew there were some good deer in there, and I was surrounded. I don't know where the wind was, but I was surrounded. I had deer on three sides of me, eight deer altogether, and right in front of me was a doe and a button buck and a doe fawn. And I look, I just kind of turned my head just slightly.
That's all it takes.
Didn't see her. She's standing about 30 yards away. You're like,
might as well pack it in.
Well, we're done. So, they tend to do that.
They're tough. They're tough, no doubt.
Yeah. The other night, I was watching a buck. I told it the story earlier, raking a pine tree. Nice buck. And, you know, and I'm watching him and I'm not paying attention. I moved my head and there were six of them on the other side of me and they all ran. You know, that happens.
That's called hunting. That's why we're out there doing it.
It is. So, how's our deer population?
Good.
Good. How good?
Yeah. Stable.
Stable. 220,000.
Right. It was our last model. So, and, you know, I mean, we're down considerably, obviously, from 15 years ago.
Of course.
But we had a lot of deer back then. And, but yeah, if you, if you look at the buck harvest and the way it's been trending and all, we have a stable population in most areas. Some areas we're still, you know,
still too many.
It's too many. There's urban and suburban areas, and some areas were maybe lower than what we should be.
In the early numbers, and I looked at some of them, and I found there were several counties that were down incrementally 2-4%.
So Region A was down a little bit.
Region A,
and that's not really that big of a surprise because actually Region A didn't drop off as much last year. So actually, you know, I mean, so that's not that big
of a
surprise.
So you take that 2 year average, you're
we're okay. We don't get alarmed over, you know, a certain percent.
Not,
and honestly,
the Washington and, or the Western Maryland guys aren't going to scream at you during the
We'll keep an eye on it, but you know, there's still a lot of season left. Washington dropped last year. And again, it's partly because
Divided county.
It's a
A and B.
Right. It's a divided county. But the other thing is we also expanded the CWD management zone.
That's right.
And
we need to talk about that.
So that can, you know, that may have played into the harvest and, cause, you know, we found that, you know, in our, you know, we have hunters that, some hunters that choose to stop hunting in the CWD zone, some hunters that decide, well, they'll still shoot bucks in the CWD zone, but maybe not antlers.
Maybe not antlers.
So that, you know, that CWD zone expansion may play into the little bit of a drop. I mean, it still wasn't
okay,
that
people,
much.
Okay, people ask me from time to time about CWD, even on the air here from time to time. We're going to talk about that at depth in the next hour, if that's okay with you.
Yep, that's fine.
But the people are going to be surprised. People from out of state are going to be surprised that they can't take their deer with them.
And from Pennsylvania, right, and Virginia, actually. It's Virginia and Pennsylvania both now.
And the Maryland deer processors cannot have their deer picked up by any of the people, the protein people.
Valley Protein.
Valley Protein will not pick their deer up.
It's a rendering facility.
Right.
And they, and they have decided, well, it was a combination. They decided, and they were kind of forced into not taking deer from.
Because
they're huge.
Yeah, I know their processing plant is in Virginia.
Winchester, which which Virginia has banned all
imported
high risk deer parts.
Right.
So Valley Proteins could no longer legally transport.
Is there an alternative to Valley Protein?
So that's it's been a struggle, you know, and it has been a struggle for our processors. The best thing that can happen with these carcasses is to go to a landfill.
Right.
In our case, Allegheny and Washington County landfills.
Right.
And so those our processors have found alternatives.
Sure,
they found hauling companies to take them to those landfills.
Right.
But it's not everybody. I mean, there's still some issues in some parts of the state where people have been
and these guys are not allowed to take them out in the back 40 and bury them.
No, that's not the best. Definitely not the best thing to do with them.
I mean, there's some new rules on the deer bones. And that
So
hunters need to be aware of that.
Hunters need to be aware, and you know, we're just like I said, if you want to talk about it next session, we can. But we're just trying to slow the spread, you know, of this disease.
So, how many deer we actually found with CWD in Maryland?
We have about 50, 52, about 50
so far,
I think.
Over how many years?
Since 2010. We were notified in February of 2011. It was a deer that was harvested in the 2010 season.
So in 9 years,
season.
We have how many?
52
yeah. deer. So,
and we sample about, on average, 700 deer a year.
So odds are, out of the 80,000 that we harvest, your odds are infinitesimally small.
Very small, and it gets smaller as you go east.
East, right.
Right.
You've not had one from the eastern shore. You've not had one from anywhere east of
Washington County, yeah. The furthest east that we're aware of, and actually it's – the furthest east is actually would be, it's a Pennsylvania / Maryland deer. It was actually a Pennsylvania sample that was picked up on the Interstate 81 exit 1.
Really?
Right on the Maryland
right on
Pennsylvania
the line.
Okay. Yeah, at Interstate 81.
Yeah.
That's the furthest east.
I didn't know. I didn't know you were sampling roadkill.
So, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
And we will take roadkills opportunistically. It just depends. But most of our samples come from hunter harvest.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to wind down this hour. So as soon as the music comes up, we'll tell the folks, see you next hour. To all you hunters that have to leave us now in the 6 o'clock hour, we wish you the best of luck out there. We want you to stay safe. And that's what we always say here at the show. Get out, stay safe, stay alive.
Yeah. Have fun.